week in recent tweets, blasting him for recusing himself from the Russia investigation and for not investigating Hillary Clinton. Sessions has said the attacks have been hurtful, but he has vowed he wouldn't resign. I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News.
With free next-day delivery from Staples, you can run your business like a pro. You can guarantee the marketing department that they'll get their supplies tomorrow and guarantee the accounting department that they'll be delivered free. With free next-day delivery, you'll have the ability to move deadlines up and adjust budgets down. Go to Staples.com and get the office essentials you need delivered next day for free. Staples. It's pro time. Orders over $49.99. Placed by 5 p.m. Excludes weekends and holidays. Eligible items only.
Aetna Inc.'s second quarter profits are soaring. The health insurer attributes its net profit of $1.2 billion to lower member health costs and benefits of leaving Obamacare individual markets. In announcing its earnings today, Aetna says it anticipates losing about $200 million on Obamacare plans this year, but that it is still less than in 2016. Aetna's participation in Obamacare markets stands at 240,000 members, down from 1 million last year. Gallup has released the results of the annual Law and Order Index, a gauge of how secure people feel in 135 countries. John Clemens reports.
Art Swift, the managing editor of Gallup, tells us as the economic and political crisis deepens, there is one country that hits a new low mark.
Venezuela has the lowest score on our Law and Order Index. So Venezuelans feel the least secure in the world.
So what among the 135 countries do people have the highest confidence in their police, their feelings of personal safety, and where the incidence of crime is the lowest?
They're most likely to feel safe in Singapore, Uzbekistan, Iceland, Norway, and believe it or not, Rwanda.
Regarding the U.S., there's been a 3-point overall improvement from the index last year.
And the NFL preseason gets underway tonight with the annual Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. This year's matchup pits the Dallas Cowboys against the Arizona Cardinals. For USA Radio News, I'm Jules McKinney.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunter and Chamber Radio.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. Let's start with our weather for this afternoon. There's a chance that we're all going to be experiencing some heavy rain sometime between this afternoon and later this evening, and perhaps some patchy fog associated with that. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 5 p.m. Some of the storms could be produce some gusty winds and rain. Partly sunny with a high near 87, south wind at 6 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation at 30%. So there's a little conflict there in what we're predicting and expecting. So I suggest you look toward the sky. New rainfall amounts less than a tenth of an inch, however. Tonight, the showers and thunderstorms are more likely, huh? Before 11 p.m., patchy fog, then before 4 a.m., and a little bit, perhaps, on your commute as you head in the morning. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, 67 degrees, calm winds, and chance of precipitation, perhaps, as you greet tomorrow, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after in tomorrow afternoon. I'm not going to get too far into the afternoon, but we know what we're looking for on our commute home and this evening as we get ready for the for our evening commute and our relaxation time at home. Signifies that we're getting ready for your county at work. This is your county at work on Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. And we're a segment, Hunterdon County at Work is a segment of Hunterdon Living, which can be heard every Thursday at this time, 4 p.m. on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'm Suzanne LeGay. I'm your host. And today we're going to be talking a bit about economic development. Economic development usually refers to an adoption of new technology, means of moving from one system of producing goods and services to another capable of improving living standard. So our guest today is truly a subject matter expert and carries the title of Hunterdon County Economic Development Director, Mark Salek. Welcome, Mark, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Suzanne. Happy to be here.
Good enough. I guess as we look at this topic, which is a, complex one, we could call it that at the beginning, and then we'll see if we can change that description by the end of our discussion today for our listeners. So let's talk about actually starting with defining what is economic development.
Sure, and you're right about the way it is discussed being a little bit convoluted. I know that a year before I applied to be an economic development director for the first time, I had never heard of one. And if you want to see conversation at a party die just like that, when someone asks me what I do for a living and I say I'm an economic development director, you can just hear a pin drop after that. So it is something that's a little complex and it needs to be kind of streamlined when you talk about it, even among economic development professionals. So the way I kind of look at it as a summary is that economic development is basically a concerted effort among collaborations between education, the public, and the private sectors to create long-term viability in a local economy. And what that long-term viability means and how you go about doing that changes a lot from place to place. So where I worked previously was in rural Midwest. And obviously what programs you use to generate long-term viability for the local economy out there is a lot different than what NORC's going to do, right? So the premise is the same, but how it's executed changes a lot around the country. But, you know, at its heart, it's about creating opportunity for people, whether that be for your students so they can have an engaging career locally, for your businesses so they can grow and thrive, and for your government so that they can have a sustainable tax base so that they can exist. So that's sort of the basics of it. And when you start in economic development or working with an economic development office and you start having specific input and say over some projects and you work with a lot of the communities towards a particular goal, then you start getting a sense of what it means for you.
Yeah, Hunterdon County has a pretty sophisticated audience, and I'm sure Chamber Radio does as well. But I know that when you hear economic development, people think of building skyscrapers and paving forests for parking lots, right? And
right.
Really, economic development, the emphasis is on the economy and how that moves forward. Mark, say a little bit about that. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're building something out of bricks and mortar, does it?
Right. And let's get back to that word that we talked about just a minute ago, opportunity. That's what you're developing, is opportunity and, like you said, the economy. And yes, sometimes in some communities that does mean new construction. Is certainly in Hunterdon's future, whether it's now or 100 years from now, it's something new is going to have to be constructed sooner or later. But that is not the essence of what it is. And in terms, if you're really talking about what misperceptions are, even when people think they have it, they tend to pigeonhole it. I would bet you that even, as you said, in a place like Hunterdon County, where people have a good feel for a lot of different issues, and boy, have I learned that since getting here. This is a very smart and educated community. But a lot of people tend to focus on it being business attraction only. And business attraction is, for an economic development office, you have to go after that. But it's a little bit like playing the lottery. We're a rural community, and the economic development industry, all the research indicates that 90%, between 80 and 90% of our new job opportunities for our workforce will come from who we already have here, from our existing businesses. So
That's fascinating. Yeah. Tell me how you know that, Mark.
That's standard.
Going to put you on the spot here.
Well, I can't claim to have done the work myself,
okay.
The research myself, but that's a standard statistics that no matter what economic development journal you're reading or no matter what conference you're at or no matter who you're talking to, that's standard. And I know that in my old effort, that bore out pretty well. We had a pretty sophisticated economic development effort, and we were involved in helping the private sector create about 2,500 jobs in my time there. And about 2,000 to 2,200 of those jobs were created by working well with who we already had, as opposed to bringing brand new, completely new jobs into the community. So it seems to bear out in my experience around the Midwest, in addition to just reading the research.
Interesting. I think that while we're learning what it is and what it is, and I'm going to ask you in a minute a little bit more specific, certainly about Huntington County, but, you know, dispelling some of the myths is important for understanding, I think, and particularly what your effort here in Huntington County is about. So let's move into that direction. Tell us what you sort of see, what makes that, if we're going to make that point a little sharper and we're going to narrow in on Huntington County, what's economic development mean in Huntington County that might be more narrow than that broad definition that you gave us?
Sure. Economic development in Huntington County, again, getting back to creating opportunity. So what we have to do is, what we've had to do since this program started is figure out what that means here. For us, I'll give you one example. For us, a large part of that has to be about creating opportunities for our young folks to actually stay here. They have been leaving us in droves, much like with most of New Jersey's counties. And one of the reasons that it's so pronounced in Hunterdon is that even with a good salaried starting wage that a 24, 25-year-old college graduate would make, it doesn't necessarily always translate in the ability to afford to live here. So there's a lot of factors, including cost of living. But at the end of the day, we have a declining population, we have an aging population, and so much about what Huntington County's economic development efforts are going to be out is about creating opportunities for our workforce, particularly for our young folks and other young folks, so that we stop educating our students for export purposes only. So there's a lot of things that you can do.
I like that, Mark. Say that one more time again.
We have to stop educating our students for export purposes only. We have to give them the ability to have the kind of high-wage job that can keep them local, give them the ability to have a career here, build a family, and then do the things from there that we know is real economic development, buy a home, buy a car, repopulate the school districts, and all of that, as we know, really creates for some long-term sustainability. But if we don't have those opportunities for those students and they leave, then we can't have those things. So for us, that's one of the things that our program can focus on, opportunity for young folks.
Okay. What makes Huntington County different in terms of your particular energies or focus, Mark?
What makes Huntington County different from separating it from New Jersey specifically?
Jersey or Newark or someplace else where there's attractions for those young folks.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Let's say we pick that one, but there must be more descriptors as to what makes us a little different, don't you think?
Well, Huntington County is a high-income community. I think we all know that. But what people who have lived here for a while might not realize is that one thing we are is extremely well-educated. There are more than twice the amount of people with graduate degrees in this county as there were people with regular four-year degrees in the county I just left. So those are a couple of things that are very unique to us, in addition to the beauty of our landscape. Suzanne, 95% of economic development directors out there who are selling their community are lying. They're talking about how great the quality of life is, and they promise you they don't believe it themselves. I'm one of the lucky few that when I go out in the world and talk about how great we are, I truly mean it with every inch of my body. So, yes, not only do we have the educated population in that great location between New York and Philadelphia, but it is a beautiful place to be with very nice people. So I can honestly say that that's a distinction point. A lot of communities are going to try to say that is their distinction point, but most of the time that doesn't hold up. It holds up for us.
Wow, I'm going to let that sink because that's a strong, and if you were sitting here with me and watching the animation on Mark as he talks about that this is the truth here, he's got the real McCoy, but we have to take our first break already, Mark, so let's listen to some of our sponsors and we'll get right back on this conversation.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Huntington County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton, Pamby's, purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
As we move forward with this complicated engineering here, and I've had my hand held by Chris Bianco, who most of you know is our engineer and our voice of every morning, but he told me he thought I was ready, so there'll be a tiny glitch here or there, but I'm counting on your patience. So welcome back, at any rate, with or without music, to WHCRDB. And we're speaking about your county at work. And our guest today is Mark Salek, and he's the Hunterdon County Economic Development Director. And when we left, Mark was animatedly telling us about economic development in Hunterdon County. But I'm going to ask you a little bit more about why did the county, and I suspect that I know that a while back the county did a very comprehensive study about the status of the economy in the county, and it was clear that it was time, we were at a crossroads, it was time for us to take a look at the county, that is, a look at paying a closer attention to our economic development. So you were part of that plan, or a person like you. I think the county was really, from all I've heard, pleased to have recruited you and attracted you and got you here. So now I'm going to ask you to tell us, why does Hunterdon County need you, Mark?
Sure. Well, again, I think the key thing there is not necessarily me specifically, someone like me, but even beyond that, there's value to the division existing in and of itself. It's like anything else. We have people that develop skills in society. A lot of us can do a lot of things, but because we don't do them all the time, we're not that great at them. So this isn't any different. There's value in having someone whose job it is to think about this 24/7, and there's particularly value to having a point of contact and a point that can work between the various sectors that are involved in economic development. So the freeholders deciding to create this position holds a lot of value in terms of being proactive about economic development. And getting back to what you said earlier, the term that I always heard during my interview process and after I started among county leaders was that the statistics about aging, declining population, the shrinking ratable base, and so on, were so alarming that doing nothing was just not an option. And, of course, being in this industry, I couldn't agree more. Economic development directors do not create any jobs, but what they can do is be a liaison between all those sectors to go down new directions, to facilitate communication, to launch new programs that all feed into creating this new opportunity that we talked about. So it's a catalyst for a lot of different things. Everyone out there is extremely busy, especially here in New Jersey. And so a superintendent may want to start a program with the business, but those poor folks have a lot of responsibilities. They may not be able to look into what it takes for that partnership to thrive and create an opportunity for their students, and that's where the role of economic development can come in. So we can be a catalyst for opportunity.
Okay, I don't want to cut you off, but you sort of brushed across a couple things that I thought were interesting. You said the reason for economic development here, you said, you know, we all understand about the aging population and the this and the that and the other. And that list might not be as familiar to our listeners, Mark, as it is to you. So if you could back up a little bit, sure. Take a breath, and maybe just give us a quick explanation of the key factors that you think were reaching a critical place that needed to be addressed.
Sure. Well, those are the big ones, aging population, declining population. And it ties back to what we talked about in the previous segment, and that is that we haven't generated enough opportunity for young families to be able to stay and grow here. Didn't used to be that way. Back when we had some of the bigger companies like Merck's, et cetera, there was a lot of high-wage positions available so that folks could afford to stay here, grow their career here, and grow a family. In recent years, we've largely seen a trend towards the creation of lower-wage opportunities, and that just simply can't sustain folks in Hunterdon. So obviously, that is a concern. If you have an aging, declining population at the heart of your statistics, then you look 34 years down the line, and you can just imagine how dismal the numbers start to get. And turning around a lot of
those... No, say a little bit more about that, please.
Sure. Well, I think I remember researching Hunterdon County had a population of maybe 128,000 at its peak. It's down below 125 now. And if you really want to get depressed, you will look at the New Jersey Department of Labor projections for 2030. And they have the numbers down to about 118,000 is what they project at that point.
Wow.
And the average age, which already we're at about 47 now, which is the highest in the state, the average age at that point gets over 50. And so it becomes clear. And by the way, you see that reflected in the school populations here. That also make you sad and realize something needs to be done. We've done the hard counts. And if there is a straight line drop off in student enrollment every year from 12th, down to kindergarten, our student population gets smaller and smaller and smaller by class. And unfortunately, we've got a lot of school districts out there that maybe have third and fourth grades with just three or four people in it. So again, if you're the Hunterdon County and you're thinking, what does our future hold for us? And you look at those numbers and realize how few people are going to occupy the workforce here, and again, buy those homes, buy those cars, support all those wonderful retailers in our beautiful river towns, et cetera, then you've got cause for alarm when you see those numbers.
Yeah, and with fewer, here's the thing, as I understand it, and I might be simplistic in this, and that's why you're here, Mark. But we're looking at the services that we still need to plow the roads, don't we? We still need to take care of our parks. We still need to do the vital services for Department of Public Works, our social services, and these really key issues. Now, we have fewer people to pay for that. We don't have evidence, it sounds to me by listening to you, we don't have evidence that those numbers are increasing, even at the rate that we would like to be happy with and control. Plus, if you drive up and down Main Streets in one of our 26 municipalities, you see a lot of empty space.
Yeah.
So that and those commercial ratables pay for a lot of those services we need. So what happens when you've got empty buildings, fewer people, and everything needs to be – you can't say that because you have fewer people that you don't need to plow their roads, right? I mean, so say a little bit about that.
Well, that plays in the very definition of what unsustainable is. Fewer people mean fewer people paying taxes, means the cost to live here goes through the roof to maintain those vital services. You don't have schools. Certain schools can't continue to exist anymore. No one is supporting Main Street, as you said, and that just creates even less opportunity to live here. And so the cycle just keeps going in a downward spiral. That is what unchecked some folks were worried about being in Hunterdon's future. And there's a lot of rural communities around the country that are facing those same problems, particularly when it comes to losing their young folks to other areas.
Okay, so that says a little bit about what the situation is, but you're here and listening to you, you're pretty optimistic. So it sounds like, you know, the county might have had the right idea. It sounds like the time was right to begin to act and not just let this, you know, wait for the private sector to make it turn all around. The other side of that is that what's the right product, the right idea, the right time? What's our product, Mark? What attracted you here, besides the fact that you think it's beautiful and you're telling the truth? But I mean, what makes Hunterdon County be on its tiptoes, ready for the things that you bring? And we've not yet talked about the things you do, but we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, what makes us ready now? What's right about this?
Two things jump out. That educated population that we talked about, there is such a wealth of knowledge and experience here and skill that if you have that, your ability to be able to turn things around is never non-existent, because skill is what companies are lacking the most right now. If you go anywhere in the country, you hear about the skills gap. So that's number one. The other one is, what happens, Suzanne, if you're opening up a gas station, or you're opening up a restaurant, or you're opening up some kind of retail outlet, and you go to the SBA and some small business advisor group, and you ask them for advice? What's the first three things they always tell you? And that is location, location, and location. Well, Hunterdon has location. Again, you've got that great educated workforce combined with being essentially a part of two major metros, New York and Philadelphia, not to mention you're in New Jersey, which, while it has its negatives, which I know we might get into, it also has the highest concentration of STEM workers and STEM jobs in the world.
Mention for listeners what STEM job is.
Those are basically jobs related to science and technology. And so
engineering
and mathematics.
Math. And now they're adding conceivably some arts.
That's true.
Yes.
And I don't know too much about that yet, so that I can't comment on.
Okay.
But yeah, they are finding a way to expand that definition to meet, you know, the standards of more industry. But we have that concentration, and we have amazing universities, and those things, having proximity to those things, is extremely relevant when you're trying to build a future. We have one of our biggest employers here is the ExxonMobil R&D facility in Clinton Township. There is a reason why a company that big has their research and development facility in New Jersey and in a place like Hunterdon. And one of those reasons is that the skill set in the workforce they need to do what they need to do there, they cannot get just anywhere. So those two things alone, combined with the quality of life issues that you already talked about, mean that we have a great head start on achieving our goals.
I have to add here that I heard, I was at a luncheon recently, and I heard the vice president in charge of research and development from ExxonMobil right here in Annandale, and he talked about hiring the top 1-2% of technology, you know, and research and development folks from the planet.
Yeah.
And he indeed included the fact that where they're located and Hunterdon County being an attraction globally. And so when you think it's just, oh, yeah, well, you know, if you try to blow that off, it's one of their attractors, besides the fact that they have the best labs, the best equipment, and colleagues, you know, to bounce stuff off. But he added that as something pretty significant.
You cannot move an economy forward, a company forward, et cetera, without skills in your populace. And we have mad skills. So
yeah.
It is a good as base of anything for moving an economic development programs forward as there is. So,
wow. When you were talking about sort of some of the things that help keep folks and help innovation and so forth as one of the attractors, right? So if keeping folks both for businesses and and for future and innovating once they're here. How do we know that that's happening here? How do we know that we've got what it takes to retain the folks that we have there? We've seen some corporate exodus, haven't we, with Foster Wheeler and with Merck and so forth. So what gives you the optimism and makes you work as hard as you do? I have words out that you're a pretty hard worker, Mark, so I'm sure the county's happy about that, but what gives you the confidence that we can retain and innovate here, given this kind of sad statistics that you gave us just a little bit ago?
Well, again, we have the skill set. So specifically, who strengths are, what our limitations are, and where we need to go. One of the models that Hunterdon's moving their economic development effort forward around is this idea that we need to have high-wage positions combined with a small footprint. So you can, again,
small footprint means, and why?
Small footprint means that we're talking about clean operations that don't necessarily take up much space, that don't need all that pouring of concrete that you referred to earlier, which can be incongruous with some of the towns that we've got. So essentially, a good example would be a company like an IT company. An IT company is not going to use a lot of infrastructure. It is not going to generate generally a lot of traffic. It is not going to be a drain on resources and use a lot of utilities, et cetera. But it is going to have very educated and respected positions with extremely high wages. That's a model that works here because for our environment, we don't want to be building giant chemical manufacturing facilities for the most part, obviously. But we do need those high wages.
He did say not going to be. I just want to make sure everybody heard that loudly and clearly. Go ahead, Mark.
That's correct. N-O-T. You got it. Not. But you do still need those high wages that will enable those families to be able to stay here. So one of the things that we're doing with a lot of our partners is to try to figure out a way to attract a tech industry. And when we talked to technologists in New York and Philadelphia, one of the things they said that we should do right off the bat is make sure that we know who's in our own backyard, who are the innovators here, find them and partner with them so that if somebody is in their house right now developing the next Google or the next Facebook and that person happens to be in Hunterdon right now and you don't have a structure to keep them, they may decide they need to run off to Newark or Hoboken or Silicon Valley to grow their idea. So step one, if we want to move a model like that forward, is to make sure that not only are we, that we're connecting with that community, and that we're connecting that community with each other. So we have put in place events that are doing just those things. So as a quick example to what you were talking about, one of the ways that we're measuring success with that is how many technologists we have now engaged with our effort, helping us move this effort forward.
The effort being attracting technology?
The effort being part of it, but also retaining it and
making
sure that we're not missing opportunities locally so that if someone's got an idea here, we're all finding them through that network and we're making sure they've got an idea. They understand that they've got partners here and they can grow their idea right here. So, again, getting back to the beginning of the conversation, we're not necessarily talking only about attracting. We're talking about maximizing what's already right here in Hunterdon because we've got a lot, and we need to capitalize on that and partner with their growth.
So we're talking about businesses. You must have to involve the municipalities in which these businesses are already working. You must. I'm saying you must. I don't know. I'm asking you. Does it involve... once they know each other, do they work? Tell us how they work together, and then tell us how they serve, how they're making it now. If we're only discovering them and they're already in process, what makes it better for them? How do you work, Mark, with the county, or do you get to work with municipalities as well?
Well, I definitely have to work with municipalities. Obviously, every square inch of Hunterdon County is within one municipality or another. So they're the key. So in a lot of ways, I work for the municipalities as much or more than I work directly for the county. And so...
Who's writing the check, Mark?
Right. Well, the county's writing the check. But you definitely... This, for an economic development effort to be successful, it requires a lot of partners. Getting back to that point we talked about in the beginning about being a catalyst. and operating between a lot of key players. The municipalities are certainly those. They're the ones that have ordinances and policies and procedures that companies have to work through when they're growing their business or they're coming in. Schools, of course, are the places where our future workforce is getting their education. The businesses that are out here is where the current workforce is, and working towards generating additional opportunities if those companies grow. So all of those folks have to be a part of who an economic development officer engages with on a regular basis.
Wow, busy boy. We need to once again break for just a moment and listen to a few of our sponsors who, after all, help all this happen here.
That's right.
And when we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit about how did we let others know that we're here and that we're doing what you're doing, okay?
You got it.
So, all right.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, welcome back to Your County at Work, a segment of Hunterdon Living, heard every Thursday afternoon here at 4 o'clock. We have welcoming back Mark Salek, who's the county, Hunterdon County Economic Development Director, and we've had a pretty in-depth conversation. I want to say in-depth, but we've had a pretty broad, and there's a lot of information. I actually want to get more in-depth. And I happened to see you across the room this morning, so I know that you were at the same talk I was at this morning, sponsored by our HART. Our rural transportation organization. And there was a quote there that I thought applied to some of the things that we're talking about right now, and it says, driving the train doesn't set the course. The real job is laying the track.
Amen.
So it sounds to me like in our sort of broad swath so far today in our talk, Mark, we were talking about laying the track. Do you have some specific projects that might help our listeners understand from that broad sort of picture of what it is and why Hunterdon County that can give us a little bit more specifics about what you're up to?
Yeah, you know, I'll tie together a lot of the broader concepts we talked about earlier. And one of the major and most basic things that a economic development office does is try to develop relationships with the business community and make sure that those relationships give us the opportunity to grow and expand our existing rateable base. And that gets back to one of the things we talked about earlier. So what we've done since we launched this program is establish a very intensive business retention and expansion program that's established through a series of business visits. So what we've really been able to do is get out there in partnership and go out to our business community one by one through site visits and get to understand what their challenges are, what their needs are, and then that gives us a chance, of course, to not only address those things, but to develop long-term partnerships. And we almost always go out in tandem. So you talked about municipalities. I will often go out with the mayor of a town or an administrator, et cetera, maybe even a superintendent, and we'll go visit a company. And what we're finding is that there is a lot of chance to do things to help these companies. And again, it gets back to that connection point catalyst. We've been able to bring in various departments, be they local or be they state level, to help companies move forward on some of their initiatives. And these companies are extremely excited that our work has been able to shorten and in some cases make less expensive the process they have to go through. And that keeps them working on what they do best, which is running their business.
I'm going to squeeze you a little bit more. When you say help some of these companies through the municipalities, like what, Mark? What is that help specific? It's just an example. You don't have to quote a town, for instance, if you don't want to. But what is that help?
Well, I didn't say through the municipalities in this particular case. I was like with them.
Yes.
A perfect example was, and this was a state level thing, so I'll just go ahead and talk about it. There was a company that was having a concern and a communication problem with New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, and we were able to get them the advice and the input and the contacts they needed to move forward. That concern and that communication they were having with that particular New Jersey department was holding up one of their projects, and it had held it up for over a year.
Wow.
Our work, which, again, it didn't take a rocket scientist. It just took existing and going out and actually knowing that that was a problem that could be fixed. So, again, it gets back to building the relationship. But all we did was go ahead and bring in the right people for them to talk to, and they can now move forward. I will tell you that this is a company that a couple years ago had already transferred part of their production to another state because they weren't happy with New Jersey. I'm happy to say this company now has a very different attitude after we've been working with them and the state for the last year and a half towards what it's like to do business in New Jersey. So we have a shot now at retaining those jobs
in the county
long term.
Yep. Yes.
So that's one specific example.
But are there scenarios like that played out? I mean, how long have you been with the county, Mark?
16 months now.
Okay. Congratulations. And would you say that you've played out several of those scenarios? Or
there's been an awful lot of those scenarios, and sometimes it's just the littlest things. There's another company that I went on a very standard visit with, and they were having similar but much, much smaller concerns with their township, and they weren't even problems. They didn't know who to ask. They didn't know where to go, and therefore they weren't getting the information they needed. So a week later, we came out with the deputy mayor, and that deputy mayor solved their problems on the spot. And so now, again, not only do we have a happy company that's moving forward with their projects, we now have a company that understands how to solve its problems in the future because they've been given the right connections. And the win on top of the win on top of the win is that now that company understands what we are trying to do and believes in our efforts, being Hunterdon County's, and our interest in partnering with them. So that company is now helping us grow our initiative, and that starts giving us what we all want, which is a true public-private partnership. So it's not just me and the mayor and a freeholder scheming how to do all these things we want to do. We've got subject matter experts like these companies helping us do it. So if it's a tech company, getting back to our earlier example, that tech company is telling us how to attract more tech companies and how to grow the tech industry instead of us sitting around going, gosh, how do we do this? So there's a lot of value to having a solid relationship with your business community.
Wow. Do those kind of successes sort of help to brand the county? You know, does Huntington County have a brand? I mean, are people going to start to realize, Mark, your efforts and some of the successes? There's so many stories that Mark and I have been talking about behind the scenes here before we started. You're going to have to come back to tell some of the exciting things like your hackathon and some of that we might not get a chance to talk about. But a little bit about this, if these successes get out, you know, they get out beyond the three businesses and the two communities and the state and a subject matter expert, right? Yep. So how does that get out, and how do people learn that Huntington County is open for business?
Right, and unfortunately, getting back to the brand question, the brand in a lot of sense at this point has been that we've been difficult to do business with and that we're not interested in being partners and that we were the opposite of what you just said, closed for business. So that, in essence, was our brand for a while. And so you're right, it's how do we overcome that? So there are a number of things that can address that over time. And I will tell you, it is surprisingly effective, this business by business approach, solving problems, developing partnerships, and getting that word of mouth going, that does have an impact long term, because developers hear it. They start understanding that we're here to help connect the dots for them, and it only takes one or two projects to change their perception. But word does get out. I was telling someone earlier about a social media thread that I was reading online where people were complaining about how difficult it is to do business in New Jersey. And somebody that was a sort of a high-powered accountant posted on there saying, yes, but some people are trying. Huntington County has been doing great things the last 2 years.
Woo-hoo.
So that was on LinkedIn, which, you know, a lot of high-powered people read.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we don't want to just rely on word of mouth. So, for example, we do try to get the word out. There is a newspaper article that I believe will be coming out shortly in NJ.com where a number of businesses talk about having experienced some of this connection points and the access to information that can be gained by working with Huntington County Economic Development. And what we really want from something like that is not only for that word to get out to help change the way people think of doing business here, but we also want other businesses here to understand that we want to do this with them and for them as much as possible. And so hopefully that lines up more for us. So that takes care of that part of the brand. But outside of that negative, unfortunately, and of course no one can say this definitively, but I know when I first got here and I went out to surrounding communities, people knew, if they had heard of Huntington County at all, they knew we were pretty. That's about as far as it got.
Uh-huh.
So we haven't really done a good job of marketing all of our strengths that we have under the Huntington County name and getting it out to the world. So, for example, and I use this one a lot, so some people listening may have actually already heard me use it, but a lot of people will have heard of some of our towns. They'll have heard of Lambertville, and they'll have heard of Clinton. But they will have no idea that those two communities are in a place called Huntington County. And they'll have no idea that they're actually in the same county, and so on and so forth. Now, why is that a big deal? You may ask someone normally in Lambertville, does that matter to you? And they might say no. But what that means is a lot of people who enjoy our towns are coming in, and they're just going to one place. So if you come to Lambertville, you might not realize that just up the road is this wonderful place called Stockton Market in Stockton, which they would really like to go to.
Yes.
If they knew it was there.
Sure.
And then just up the road from there is an unbelievable community called Frenchtown, and so on and so forth. So what's happening is people that are coming in and going to Clinton Main Street are coming in for 2 hours, spending money just there, and they never know what else they could do. Whereas if we were selling all of our communities, not to mention all the other assets we have, like the vineyards and so on and so forth, folks would be coming in maybe for an entire weekend and visiting a lot of places, and then in turn going out in the world and talking about what a great place Huntington County is, and then that starts to transform into workforce attraction and things like that. So again,
I think a Diamond Nation, right? I mean, how many thousands, yes, or tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 as far as I know over the course of a season families and kids come here to play tournaments and so forth. So,
and the question is, maybe there needs to be more of a concerted effort to make sure they connect with more of what Hunterdon County is,
sure,
so that
sure.
when they don't go back, they're not only saying there's a baseball camp there. As great as that is,
yes.
and as valuable as that is, it'd be nice if they were delivering other messages about us as well. But we have not told the world what our strengths are and what our assets are and who we are. We haven't told them that in this whole process of, as you said earlier, not being open for business.
Well, so, Mark, what are you doing about that, Mark?
So now that we are open for business, we need to tell the world those things. So we have, and we can't, I got to be careful here because I don't want to speak for the fact that we're not the voice of Hunterdon for everybody. Right here where we're sitting, the chamber is going to play a key role, obviously, in messaging who the county is. So is a great organization called Delaware River Towns. And by the way, that's why Hunterdon County Economic Development partners with those organizations and much more. But essentially what we've done in our little effort is that we have created a brand, which we will unveil within the next 4 to 5 months. And we will be launching a website, and we will be using those along with increased social media tools to start telling the world what Hunterdon County Economic Development and Tourism is and why those things are so special, what are our unique assets. And then combined with that, the programs that we are running, which are building communities here, such as the agritourism community and the tech community, through word of mouth, those efforts will start to brand who we are in surrounding communities and beyond as well, and we'll use those to help tell our story.
So I we're getting sort of toward the end of the program. I hate to think that we're going to miss the opportunity if you said we're about to unveil our website, we're about to unveil this and that. Can't you leak some of that, Mark, so that people know where to find you and they know where to find when's the website going to be ready and how do they find you? Where's are you on Facebook? You know, let's tell our listeners something about how they get more information or they can follow you and follow the progress that the county is making along with the chamber, along with some of our tourism organizations and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, where is economic development within the county structure? It's in the planning department. So my boss is a wonderful lady named Sue DeMera, and when people ask her title, she gets to say, I'm the head of the Hunterdon County Planning, Land Use, and Economic Development Office. So it is quite a wordy title that Sue has to use, but that's where this office is located. And anybody, I give my cell out. I've always done this in this career. Anyone can call my cell at any time. Like I always tell people, I have no life. I do this all the time. It doesn't matter when it is. You can't bother me. If I am asleep, I simply won't answer the phone. So my cell phone number is 908-399.
Slowly.
908-399-1108. That can be called at any time. And my email address, it's a county email address, so it's a little bulky, but it's basically M. Salick, so M for Mark. My last name is S, as in Sam, A-L-U-K, at co.hunterdon.nj.us. So, yeah, it does not flow right off the tongue. But we also, if you want to keep up, if you want, you can message me through Facebook as well, in addition to keep up with a lot of our activities at the Hunterdon County NJ Economic Development Facebook page. And we do post a lot of these individual business visits that I talked about, some of the work with the communities, some news stories about our projects, as well as a lot of links on things happening in New Jersey that will also be key to helping Hunterdon's future.
Wow. A lot to digest, a lot of good information. I'm going to reserve a postscript, Mark. I'm going to invite you back a little bit later maybe early next year to see maybe some more examples and more that we can learn. By that time, I hope your website will be packed full of information for our listeners.
Suzanne, you better work with Chamber Director Chris Phelan to make sure by then you have a three-hour show because we will have a lot for you to go over.
Okay. I'm sure the county's listening to that, Mark. So it is really just about wrap time. Thanks so much, Mark, for being here and for the work you're doing and the partnerships you're forming with some very other vital organizations in the county. So
thank you. I'm always excited to talk about economic development, in particular to talk about good stuff going on in Hunterdon County.
Great. So we'll get a chance to talk in the future to Mark once again. The next week at this same slot, 4 to 5, will be Laura Cummins, and she's also part of this 100 Living segment that airs every Thursday afternoon at 4 to 5. And her show is Experience 100. So you can find Laura Cummins at 4 o'clock next Thursday. Same place, same time. And 1 month from today, which is actually going to be September 7th on the calendar, we're going to have Susan Hoffman visit your county at work. And Susan Hoffman is the county surrogate, and that's a very, very interesting role. Susan is the longest-serving surrogate in the state. She's packed full of information and something that everybody can use. Know that you can listen to a podcast if you want to catch up with some of the nuances or details that Mark mentioned today. We'll have our information up on Facebook and LinkedIn. I guess that's maybe the certainly I will as host, and I think the Chamber of Commerce Radio will have that up so that you can listen to the download and listen to the podcast. So with that, I'm going to thank you very much for listening. And we will see you 1 month from today.
Together we stand. We're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. With Jules McKinney.
The New Yorker is releasing portions of the interview that led to the firing of former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci. In the phone interview, Scaramucci accused then White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus of being a leaker.
And Reince is f-ing paranoid schizophrenic, paranoiac. Okay, but he leaked the CFIUS stuff on me. You know, my financial disclosure's been leaked to Politico.
Yes.
Which is a felony.
Scaramucci was asked to resign after the tirade Monday by incoming Chief of Staff John Kelly. Scaramucci later.